And welcome to a Wednesday morning. Steak Shapiro, excited to be joined by Rusty Manziel. Sandy, taking care of some family stuff this week. Should be hopefully appearing perhaps on Friday. We'll tell you more about that coming up. But got Drew for a couple of days. Lucky enough to get Rusty today. How are you, sir?
It's good. It's been a minute. When, I think it was the last time we worked together was right before 4th of July. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I was on vacation the first, right after 4th of July. Then you hit vacation.
I think I got you.
Yeah, you were right. You were leaving that day.
Yeah, I got you.
You were leaving that day. Yeah. So we've done, we did one day in July. We'll finish it with a.
Well, I love the pace of Atlanta because in 1 week, everything's back to normal, right?
Right.
All the kids are back. Public school's back first week. Next week, private school's back 2 weeks.
Chattooga started last Friday.
Chattooga?
Chattooga County.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
It started last
Somerville, Georgia.
No, okay.
They started last Friday.
Most,
so I put it on. I will say this: I put it on social media, and people go nuts. But Chattooga County officially responded to me and said, "Hey, we started today, but we only go 4 days a week."
What time are four days a week?
They go
year
four days
round.
They go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Huh.
Well, till the calendar, not year round, but yeah, they start earlier.
Can you think about, and we're going to get to Ronald Acuna conversation in just a second, but before we were as focused on hydration and understanding heat index and the precautions and everything else, given what this week has been, which is some of the biggest heat numbers in history, right, 110 heat index, 112, whatever it is, think about, I assume you just had your high school reunion for your state championship team, right?
Yep.
So give me an example of what August would have been like getting ready for the season.
So here, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to sound like the old macho guy and all this. Here's the different stake of you and I growing up versus kids now. We didn't have iPads, and we didn't. Your ass was outside. There was no acclimation. There was no acclimation period.
Right.
It was here's where you show up. It's great you brought that up because I'll show you an example. August of 1990, which would have been my senior year, our first day of school was the Friday of Labor Day weekend, meaning we had the entire month of August to practice football. So we lifted in June. It ramped up in July a little bit. And then August, we had 4 weeks.
So how many hours are you doing double sessions? Are you doing morning,
afternoons? We would do the first week was afternoons, and then the next 3 weeks – we didn't do 3 days, but we did 2 days.
Right.
So you would do in the morning, you would do 7 to 9 in the morning, and then like 4 to 6.
Yeah, and 4 to 6 now, nobody's practicing now 4 to 6.
You can't,
right?
Because of the wet bulb. When the wet bulb goes off over a certain humidity,
right,
you have to stop practice legally.
Which is why most workouts have been going on the last few weeks. Everything's in the morning.
Everything's
right?
in the morning. We saw David Green this morning. We ran into David Green this morning, former Georgia quarterback. He is a coach at Hebron Christian. He said we are practicing late at night to beat the wet bulb.
Yeah.
So they're starting like at 7. I went to a South Georgia school about 10 years ago, and it was about 985 degrees, and I'm about to die.
Yeah.
And I looked at the coach. I said, how in the hell are y'all practicing with a wet bulb? And he goes, what are you talking about? I looked over there on the wet bulb. They had a fan on it. I said, hey, man, didn't see anything. They had a fan blowing on the way because it records the data.
Yeah. It's like.
So it was 200 degrees on the field, but the wet bulb showed it about a brisk 78.
It's like back in the day when the trainer would come to tell Bill Parcells about. Yeah, I think I don't want to hear about that.
You think
he's not hurt?
Yeah,
I don't. Like, no. You know, a different era. Like,
It's just different. And listen, whatever. And you have to be safe.
You got to be
careful. We had a young man pass away in the state of Georgia a couple of days ago, and you just cannot play with this heat. You can't play with this, but it was a different day and age back then. State, we took our helmets this weekend. We had a helmet from 1990. And we had a helmet today with the plastic and technology. Our helmet must have weighed 10 pounds more than that. It was unbelievable. It was like a concrete boat anchor. And we're colliding with each other. And remember why we can't remember anything. These helmets now with a give and how much less weight it was. Unbelievable. Great technology. That helmet
that's
we
interesting.
Used.
You had it. You had
we
the
had more,
helmet.
We had more. Dude, it was literally, I swear you could use the boat anchor. It was so damn heavy.
I will say we both were down at Starbucks at Colony Square. David Green looks good, huh?
David Green, when people meet David Green for the first time, they realize how tall he is.
I don't know, maybe about the way he used to hunch over center or just bend over that you don't realize he's what, 6'5"?
I bet he played at 6'4".
I mean, that is a big boy that looks great. He just happened to be at Starbucks, Maresti and myself. Super, you talk about a Georgia legend.
Super, super accurate.
Yeah.
Super
absolutely. Yeah, he didn't have the
accurate.
Arm strength did to make not, it in the NFL, no. But boy, could he orchestrate. That's
and,
really.
Anticipate, process, and accuracy with and David Green.
And some of the great wins that I've been here 30 years watching Georgia football, some of the great moments.
This
obviously,
guy, this guy's going to come in here at 11 o'clock. Those two balls that David Green threw to Randy McMichael on the hobnail boot drive.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Randy, but I'm telling you, before I knew Randy, those two catches and the one-handed catch Randy made on the one ball, but that drive by David Green will go down as one of the best ever in Georgia, ever.
Yeah, and one of the great wins in history if you realize where Tennessee was at that
when
time.
When they threw that screen pass,
yeah,
that was the most Georgia you-know-what of all time. You're like, how in the hell? We can't beat – it's like Tennessee fans of Georgia right now. We can't beat Georgia. It was the same situation with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Until the win in Athens.
That was the year before.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about, what was it, 6-8 years ago? The
Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I'm standing on the Tennessee sideline, and when Jacob Eason throws that touchdown, I'm standing beside I'm shoulder to shoulder with the Tennessee AD. I'm telling you, Stake, when Jacob Eason threw that ball, that guy's soul left him.
Right.
I watched
him. They were right there.
I watched him bend over. I watched Butch Jones. Knew he was getting fired. That was going to kill him. And when they kicked, I'm standing on there, and when Georgia kicks off, the guy was 5 yards offsides. I was like, what in the hell was he thinking? That gives them 5 extra yards on top of the
penalty. How much time did they have when they got the ball back in that game?
Probably
what was it, like
6 or 7 seconds. And they kick it off. Yeah, they only got run one play. They ran one play.
You talk about a nightmare.
You know what's crazy? I'm standing there. I'm a reporter. They throw that ball. I can't react. Cool. I turn around, and I've known him since high school. Alvin Kamara looks at me, and he goes.
Alvin who does?
Alvin Kamara. Yeah. Because he's on Tennessee's side.
Yeah.
He didn't go crazy. He just like, he looked at me, he goes, can you believe that?
Right.
And I just said.
That was the wildest, worst moment in that building.
That was, dude.
To have that sucker
and
down
I was
that
on,
way.
Because I had trying to get different angle view. I was shooting for our site that time, helping. I was trying to get different angle
You're
views.
You're filming.
I'm shooting camera.
Yeah.
And dude. But I'll never forget standing beside the Tennessee athletic director, and when they threw that ball, he leaned over and put both his hands on his knees.
Right, thought they had a win in Athens, and they ended up having one anyway.
Yep.
All right, we got to get to our 9-9 for sure. Let's talk about the best scenario, and that is you don't see Ronald Acuna Jr. maybe the entire rest of the season because they are playing out the string. If ever there was a team that's playing out the string, it's the Atlanta Braves, given the injuries. But if you hadn't heard yet, he's in a boot after the game. The fear is a possible Achilles tear. He didn't feel great going into yesterday, but asked to play. We'll hear the cuts from that coming up. And then, of course, after Snit has to take him out is that he is very concerned. This is a serious injury that was getting worse throughout that game.
I watched it in the third inning. Bo, I don't know if you watched it. They hit a ball into the gap in a corner, and it wound up being a foul ball. I thought he loafed on the play. I was like, why did he not make a better effort at that ball? Because the ball ricocheted off the wall, and it basically came back to him. But it was like – and then 3 innings later, they hit a ball, and Jeff Francoeur on the broadcast goes, that didn't look right. The next batter hits a ground rule double, and you see him struggle to get there, and then just want to take him out.
Yeah, you could tell he was pulling up on those balls that ran out to the outfield.
No effort on the first one.
But was still able to walk and, you know, so.
So that's the only thing. I've been around people that's popped their Drew talked about the guy that popped his Achilles tendon playing pickleball. I saw a guy pop his Achilles tendon rounding second base in a softball game, and I'm telling you, this dude was rolling around.
Yeah,
like the worst pain ever.
My sister-in-law tore his Achilles playing tennis. It feels like somebody shot the
back
of your
leg. So I'm hoping that this is a strain
now,
and he's done for the year.
He's saying he didn't hear a pop.
Yeah.
But
they flew him back today for an MRI. We're going to know something.
You better
today.
Believe it.
Yeah.
You better believe it. I've never seen anything, Bo, you tell me, like what the Braves this season, they got to get through another 60 days. They got to get through another 60 days of baseball. Right?
I mean,
It's going to be tough to navigate the rest of the season for the Braves as they continue to just add. As Grant told me Sunday night, they're shopping at the used tire store, just trying to fill gaps.
That's all they're trying to do.
On their pitching staff.
To make lineups.
To get through the,
we need
the rest of the
somebody
season.
That you can define as a major league pitcher to start games for them. Whoever that is. It's almost like I said yesterday, Alex Anthopoulos, great treatment of folks over the years. You know, they're just giving them players. Hey, take, Carrasco? Take him. He'll give you a start and take this guy. And
we're going to bring Jesse out of retirement? I mean, he retired last week.
No,
and they may not let him.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, they lose the game last night. Bullpen kind of implodes. The Royals beat them. What was the final last night?
All it matters.
9-6.
We're 16 out.
2-10 start. Joey Wentz, Angel Zerpa today. All that matters, Ronald Acuna Jr. How serious is the injury? We'll have lots more on that. Also, we'll hear from Ronald in the clubhouse. The biggest reason for concern is when you listen to him. That's what this is about. It's because, like everyone said, if anybody knows about an Achilles, you normally can't walk off the field with it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a strain. They just shut him down for this year and bring him back.
Yeah, that's the most important thing at 9 at 9. Lots to get to. Obviously, a huge day at Falcons for the radio station. Just one player after another on. Raheem had his press conference. We'll hear a lot more on that. Michael Penix spoke. Raheem spoke. Leonard Floyd with Dukes and Bell. So, Falcons. We haven't heard from Rusty yet since training camp started.
I'm pumped.
Right?
I'm pumped. I'm ready. I don't want to hear any injury news. I don't care about fighting. Everybody's like, we don't, I like it. He's got some dog in him. It's football. It's hot as hell. It's camp. There's going to be fights. Let's just get to week one and let's turn everybody loose. See what we got. The problem is the preseason, which I don't like anymore. If the Falcons take the same approach, they're not going to play. They're not going to play anybody.
No, they're not playing.
Play
Penix.
Somebody. Patrick Mahomes
hold
plays.
It. Hey, hey,
Patrick
hey,
Mahomes
hey.
Plays in the preseason.
We got to go to break. Hold it, buddy.
Don't get me stirred up.
Also,
preseason.
The Rusty High School reunion. We got to get something on that.
Lord,
the state title game. This guy came in playing hurt today after the week he's had.
I need to be at my ankles need to be taped.
Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game, Steak and Rusty. What a week it's been for this radio station. Listen, I don't know what's going on any other radio stations, music formats, or country music, or talk radio, or conservative talk, or liberal. I don't know anything about all that right now. I know that we got 120,000 watts. We're live at Falcons. Friday, we are live in Athens, a special show. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Drew Butler. Rusty.
The whole gang?
Sandy. I think we're all going to be.
Let me tell you something. We love Sandy. Sandy is the queen of Atlanta sports radio.
Yeah.
A long time.
For sure.
I don't know. Everybody loves her.
Yes. What's coming?
I hit her up and I say, hey, I'm going to be at Lake Oconee for a couple of days. I need that member number. And I don't get any response.
Yeah.
I send y'all a little video from the pool. You know, just a little private
video.
Yeah,
that was nice.
I said, hey,
that.
I need Sandy, I need the member number. So it's crickets.
Yeah.
I hit her on the side. I said, hey, Tom Brady's over at the pool. And she hits me with a really? And I said, not really, but I need that member number. It's still crickets. You know what I mean?
So the members to get on campus there at Lake Oconee, is that
I
what
need
it is?
That member number for that.
Yeah.
That drink at the pool.
I know. Oh, okay. So just put
need,
it on the
I need that.
On
I'm
the
there.
Tap.
You treat she comes Rome, we'll take care of
you,
her.
You sound like you've been on a run here. So you had your high school
our 35th reunion. Really the first
of the team that won the
state
championship.
The first reunion we ever really had. We
had Pepperell.
Yes. We had one when we lost a teammate in 2008. About 25 of us got together. It was a guy who was a starter for us, a great guy. So we had a reunion for him and kind of did a fundraiser for his son who was going to college and tried to help him. Anyway, so getting to that, we had our 35th reunion this weekend. It was unbelievable turnout. We had guys from Memphis. We had guys from Columbia, South Carolina, Nashville.
How would you say overall in a new era of guys trying to – so these guys in their 50s,
yes.
Right? How does everybody look overall grade?
Crazy good.
B plus?
Yes. Crazy good.
Guys are staying in shape.
Crazy good. And successful.
Right.
I mean, we've got principals, business owners. I'm telling you, steak.
Were the wives there also?
Most of them were. Yeah.
Okay, most of them were.
I mean, you could have literally, we could have literally been a 30 for 30 or a show of cops. It could have went 50-50 out of high school. Right, right. We had some hoodlum to us.
So how was the night? Where'd you guys end up?
So we ended up, we had a great time there. Then we go to a bar. And if you know me, music's important. We walk up to the bartender. Bo, we walked up to the bartender. I think we give him 120 cash. Right out of the gate. His guy's about 24. We walk up and we go, hey, we need the music for the rest of the night. And I handed him that cash and he goes, I need the list of songs. So we wrote down 25 songs from the 80s. I'm talking about Beastie Boys, Rob Bass.
Cyndi Lauper.
We wanted to hear 80s music. Well, that turned into, you know, Rome is known for a tennis center. Well, all of a sudden, about 40 or 50 ladies that are in town for a
big tournament,
huge Southeast regional tournament.
Right.
They come in there, and it literally turns into mini Johnny's Hideaway.
I was going to say, now
that's exactly what it looked like. That's exactly what it looked like.
So is that the strategy, Bo, always, having spent a lot of years in the hospitality business?
Does not hurt one bit. Go ahead and grease the wheels a little bit. Look, you will be taken care of the rest of the evening.
Well, you're sitting there, no matter what. When there's 30 people there and they're playing music and they're playing, okay, I'm the old guy. I don't care if you're playing rap music, but nobody's moving. Let's play Return of the Mac and let's get some people, some shoulders popping. And next thing you know, even the young kids are like, damn, this is good.
Now, is he playing it off his phone?
No, there's a PA system. There's a speaker system.
No, my point is.
They got an iPad.
So everything
is
digital. And he's just plugging in.
We're not burning cassettes.
No, I know that. But no, there's a lot of ways. Everything comes
back. We wrote down
Which is why now with a sound system, you can do exactly that. Everything just.
So we wrote every song down.
I'm going to curate the mix.
Yes.
Here's $120.
And we did it in order. And not only did we give him the song, we gave, like, we played Tone Loc, Wild Thing. We wrote, this is by Tone Loc.
So that don't leave anything for chance.
That's
Falcons
right.
Try not to leave anything for chance, trying to be prepared for the season. I talked yesterday. I've been to, I don't know, 30 training camps, and it's always kind of the same optimism. And there's 32 teams, and 28 of them, 26 of them can make a case that if this goes right and that goes right, we're going to be in the hunt, we're going to be in the postseason, we have a chance to make things happen. National Football League, normally 50% of the teams from the year before are out of the playoffs that we're in, and then the 50% are new teams that weren't in the mix. We're trying to be that new team. We went all in, put our chips in with two first-rounders on the defensive side.
Traded our first-rounder next year.
Yeah. We don't have a first-rounder. So as much as we said Arthur Smith last year, it's now or never. That didn't happen. As much as we said last year with Kirk Cousins, you spent all that money, you put all in, and you said it's now or never for Raheem. Well, that didn't happen either. Well, now it's really, because you don't even have a number one next year. So you don't sacrifice a number one to have a 8-9 season, right?
Yep.
You got Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr., and you do that with Leonard Floyd and some of the guys coming back, and you do that with Jesse Bates.
There's two ways to look at the Falcons. You and I talk about this, and we understand completely. There's two ways. Now, let me finish this. There's a window when you have a young quarterback with his small salary. On the flip side of that, we're also paying our second quarterback, obviously well-documented, $180 million. We have spent every dime that we have. We think we have a quarterback that can win us games. We've got everything pushed in with our two quarterbacks. We're counting on Penix. If not, we spent money on Kirk Cousins if it has to get to that.
And he's coming off the books next year,
coming
right?
Coming off the books. But we are there. So they go and get what they think we need. And by the way, the reviews on Xavier Watt, who they got in the third round, is really good.
Yeah.
So if they hit on Pierce and Walker, pressure guys, as I heard Terry Fontenot say yesterday with the morning show, if we hit on pressure guys, everything we have around with all the offensive guys that we've drafted and all the contracts that are coming up with Bijan, Drake London, that, it's go time. Literally is go time for the Falcons.
Yeah, you heard Bergeron on yesterday, one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League in terms of how they grade out. And then there was Raheem yesterday talking about what we've been saying. Is this young talent ready to excel?
I try to use all those experiences. Nothing's going to be the same. You know, it's never going to be the same type of deal as that way. But definitely the youth movement in L.A. was one of those things that happened, surrounded a perennial All-Pro Hall of Famer. soon to be first ballot, whatever the case may be, in Arundano. And it's some of those things that's happened here with some of the youth that's around, some of the guys that we do have, whether you're talking about Jesse Bates, you're talking about Ellis, or you're talking about Ayamada. And you're surrounding it with the youth movement. You're surrounded by a little bit of veteran savvy. When you're talking about Mike Hughes, you're talking about A.J. Terrell. And then you get some of the youth movement that you got going on up front, some in the back end. And it's fun to watch. And it's
his comparisons are to the Rams. But Aaron Donald is one of the best defensive players in NFL history. We don't have anybody that sniffs that. So when you surrounded Aaron Donald with any talent, with the best player arguably in football, which is what he was in his prime, mm-hmm. right, on the defensive side, we don't have the comparison. But what he's saying is we do have Jesse Bates and we do have A.J. Terrell and we do have David Onyemata. I guess he's putting him in that. And you had Jalen Walker and James Pierce, and you had, like you just said, Jesse Watson. So his comparison, Xavier Watts. So the comparison is young and old youth movement with veteran players. I get it. Listen, when Raheem took over the defense last year late, they started to get after the quarterback, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't as abysmal, although we've been the most abysmal. That's why you sacrificed a number one next year and went and said, we need both guys. We need both guys.
Both of them.
Yeah.
We like both of them. Let's get them.
Do you want to hear about the fight stuff, or are you tired of that?
I think it's the biggest overreaction.
All right, here's what Raheem said about that.
No, because none of those things are ever personal. They may feel like that to the outside eye looking in. Correct. But realistically, that's like every day and every down type of things. So they never get personal. You just talk about the reason and why you don't want it. And the most important reason is losing work. The most important it is waste of time. And the most important part about it is having to stop it and even bring them up to just address it at those moments. So, like, you don't want to waste time. You want to eliminate and mitigate most foolishness as you possibly can.
That's literally, they're on a clock.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to take a minute, 30 seconds to worry about that when he's got a plan.
The biggest brawl I ever had in high school was a team fight, and we laughed about it after practice. Like, what were we doing fighting? How stupid was that? Somebody could have got hurt. We're out there swinging helmets. They had to break us up. We had somebody late hit our quarterback, and the offense and defense got in a fight at practice. It happens. It's a violent game. You're trying to hit each other with a helmet. It's going to happen sometime.
It's 97 degrees out.
People are
going to
be pissed off. These are alpha male athletes, too, by the way.
Yeah, and James Pierce Junior is
you know
going after.
You know what they're doing? They're talking smack in the locker room. Like, I got you. You know what? Well, I'll get you tomorrow.
If you don't think that Chris Lindstrom wants to see a guy on the other end of the ball, he knows why we are
what
where we are.
What you don't want to see is the Titans and Falcons in minicamp fighting because they don't like each other
right.
anyway.
And that can get
somebody can get hurt.
Right. Bergeron, same thing. He wants to see what Jalen Walker and James Pierce and what those guys are going to be about. So much ado about nothing. More on the Falcons when we come back. If you're a Georgia fan in your car, in your office, anywhere right now listening, do you really understand with year 10 of Kirby Smart what you have? Simple question. Do you really understand what you have with Kirby Smart? Camp opens tonight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .9 40 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel, thank you so much for being with us. It's a great week because it's game week in Athens. Am I supposed to read this right here, Mr. Bo? We want this out here? Is this we got to record this. Okay. Well, it's a great week because it's game week in Athens. I'm like, is there a game going on there that I'm not familiar with?
Oh,
is there
man.
A game going on? We'll record that after the show. But it is game week in Athens for us because we are going to be live in Athens on Friday. A lot going on with the start of Georgia camp, and we are previewing it for you with a very unique special edition of the Steakhouse. Rusty Manziel, Drew Butler, Sandra Golden, Steak Shapiro.
Whole gang, man.
Yeah, at the Grindhouse. We will tell you who's going to be in. We'll tell you who we're going to be talking to, but it is going to be a special 2 hours. I promise you that. So a lot going on there. The best coverage of Georgia football, how do I know? Because Rusty's sitting right here next to me, and nobody's going to cover it better than him or has been around it more than Rusty, not to mention all the guys around here, including Randy, that played there as well. We'll get to Georgia in a second on the tailgate. The Ron and Acuna, I'll ask you both a very simple question. How worried are you, scale of 1 to 10, about Ronald Acuna, the situation, leaving the game last night, breaking down after the game, worried about his Achilles?
Watched it live, watched him leave the field. Going to bed last night, I was a 4. Waking up and seeing him in tears, I'm a 9.
Bo, where are you at?
Cautiously optimistic. I'm going to sit at about a 5. He did put a lot of weight and run around on the on
his
leg. He
was walking in the dugout.
Yeah.
He didn't put his glove. He just walks. But
I would be surprised if it's a Achilles tear, but I'm at a 7 in worry because how can you not be?
If it's a sprain, just shut him down and he'll be good to go in February. He'll be fine. I mean, we're cooked for this year. We're 16 out.
Oh, forget about out, Rusty. But they got 60 days that they've got to figure out how to fill
out
a
roster. I'm not worried
roster.
About who they're trotting out there on the mound. If me and you're throwing a doubleheader this weekend, I'm worried about the best player we got on our team, the most impactful player, a top 4 player, top 3 player in Major
League
Baseball.
It's Willie Mays.
Yes,
I mean, the Atlanta Braves had Willie Mays, have him on the roster. A guy that can do absolutely everything that ever could happen on a baseball field. One of the most
throw he made was unbelievable, man.
I left town, and I've been doing this for 25 years. I don't know there ever was a slower sports week, and I'm checking every morning from Italy, you know, what do I got to cover from, what am I missing? The number one story I missed was the Cunha throw. That was the number one, like every day.
I'll tell you how good a throw it was. So everybody has multiple, you know, group chats with different people, your college buddies, your high school buddies, your work buddies. As soon as he threw that and it got out in the next 15 minutes, every single different group chat I have of people are like, holy, you know what? I've never seen anything like that.
I loved hearing Aaron Boone after he wanted to get on his guy for not sliding and not knowing it. But then he also was like.
He baited him. Did it.
Yeah, like a throw wasn't even coming
in. So the guy
in.
Had no idea it was coming. And he felt it on his butt cheek, and your ass was in the dugout.
It's just like a
– Where's third base coach? What's he doing? That's what I'm wondering.
You know what he's doing? He's still telling a story about the greatest throw he's ever seen.
Yeah.
He didn't tell him to get down, did he?
He gave him a late. Not any time. So the great thing was the guy that got thrown out. You've seen the scene in Chris Rock where him and there's here, and he goes, which one of y'all just kicked me? He's looking around like, where the hell did that ball
just happen?
Where'd the ball come from?
So when you talk about Ronald Acuna Jr. and why you should be worried, this is a guy that
now I'm worried
is as talented as anybody that's ever walked on the field, okay? Separate of Shohei Ohtani, who can pitch also. So Ronald Acuna is Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle in terms of skill level. And there was nothing about since he got back from the ACL the last, you know, month and a half, Rusty, that said anything different.
No.
I mean, look at him.
Dude, he came back like it's on.
But, I mean, if he's got another season-ending injury.
I don't even want to
talk. I know. We'll hear more from him.
Be the most Atlanta thing ever. Ever. Talk about a city I feel like at times. I feel like as an Atlanta fan, and you start talking about, God, we jinxed.
Well, the greatest.
We get a superstar
this. The football player most popular ever was Mike Vick. He ended up in federal prison.
We go through that.
The basketball player greatest they ever had was Dominique. They traded him to the Clippers. And the most talented baseball player might be Ronald Acuna. Hank Aaron certainly and Chipper in the mix as well. But Ronald Acuna's the most talented.
We have the best Hawks team we've ever had, and we just happen to be in the best era of basketball ever. We had a damn good team. We couldn't even get to the finals.
No.
We couldn't get to the finals.
You had never won. The Atlanta Hawks, until a few years ago, had never won more than one series in a playoff.
And had a great team. Unbelievable team.
Neek and Doc and Battle
Reggie
and
Theus,
Levingston.
Willis.
Cliff Levingston and Kevin Willis. I mean, all right. You want to do this as a tailgate?
Let's do a tailgate.
Okay.
Kirby Smart, steak as crazy as sounds, kind of officially starts his 10th season tonight. The team will check into the team hotel. Fall camp will basically start tonight. First practice tomorrow. Let me throw a few stats at you, steak. You've been here a long time. Kirby Smart, he's 105-19. He is 62-11 in the SEC. So you start thinking, okay, let's just go. Let's try to get a pattern for this. Let's go back. So I went back to the 2020 season. The last 5 complete seasons, this guy is 61 wins, 7 losses, and two national championships. They just won an SEC championship this year, and it was kind of seen as a
down year.
That's not the goal for this team.
Yeah,
anymore.
Call it what you see. They lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Bama. They almost lost to Tech in that overtime. They pulled that out. They lost to Notre Dame in the playoffs.
Yep.
It is human nature to not have a full appreciation once things get good to remember what it was. I don't care if you're in a marriage. I don't care if you're in a job. I don't care. The human nature is to not remember the tough times as well. You want to have that emblazoned on you. And by the way, tough times – I wouldn't call Mark Richt tough times. Mark Richt was 145-51. He was almost 100 games over 500. He had a 74% winning percentage. Vince Dooley was 201-77. That's a 71% winning percentage. Really good, almost three times. Kirby Smart at 105-19 is an 85% winning percentage. And national titles on top of it.
Listen to me. After going 8-5 the first year.
Right.
He went 8-5 the first year.
105-19 is 85%. And, you know, Vince Dooley and Mark Richt, two of the better coaches in the history of Georgia football.
I will say this in defense of Mark Richt. Had he been in today's landscape, they would have been in the playoffs in 02. They would have been in the playoffs in 07. And they would have been in playoffs in 2012.
They also never gave Mark Richt the tools to go recruit at the way Kirby, who said, this is how we're going to do it.
He didn't have the leverage.
And no leverage.
Because South Carolina was about to hire Kirby Smart, and Georgia was like, that's not happening.
But it's not even that. Kirby let it be known. I'm going there if we're going to run it like Alabama, and we're going to have indoor practice facilities, and we're going to recruit at the highest level.
Let me tell you
something.
And
we are going to get on planes, trains, and automobiles.
The big money people found out that Kirby Smart was about to go to South Carolina, and they said it ain't happening.
But my point is they kept all their promises.
Well, he had the leverage. You're going to do it this way or I'm going somewhere else.
They used to tell Mark Richt, you'll never be the highest paid or one of the highest paid SEC coaches because that's not what we do at Georgia.
Drew talks about it. The indoor they had was a garage with carpet in it. And Kirby Smart's got 125.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I used to interview Mark Richt all the time, and he just said, like, we can't have to drive down to the Georgia Dome to have indoor practices, right?
Yes, yeah.
Getting ready for our big game or getting – that's not how they're doing it other places. And, you know, you had an – sometimes we talk about the fact you just got to pipe down. You're not going to be paid like Steve Spurrier. You're not going to be paid like Urban Meyer. You're not going to be paid like Nick Saban.
Yep.
Know your place.
How long did that AD last with Kirby? A year? Two?
Yeah. Well – let's talk about Georgia Tech, who also opened camp yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or they opened today?
They opened yesterday.
Okay.
And a lot of discussion around them. Obviously, I think Georgia Tech's got some expectations this year. They opened up a huge game with Colorado on Friday night, August 29th, have a national audience. You know, listen, all the news with Deion this week, you hope he's good. Sounds like he's good. Scary situation. And just glad that he's healthy and be able to do his
team. So how good is that quarterback room with Aaron Filo and obviously the starter,
Here's what I'll tell you. And I made a comment on a podcast this week, and some Georgia fans kind of got into me a little bit. I said, listen, I was on the Atlanta area podcast, and somebody asked me about Georgia Tech. They've got two damn good quarterbacks. Haynes King, I think, is about perfect for what they want to do. He's tough as nails. Came within a couple plays of beating Georgia. You want to talk about the future at Georgia Tech? They had a kid named Aaron Filo out of the Athens area. And I'm telling you right now, I'm on record. This kid's an NFL quarterback. This guy can freaking throw it. This guy's a winner. He's super smart, and he's waiting his time. I understand why they're playing Haynes King. But I'm telling you right now, the higher ceiling down the line is Aaron Filo. This kid can play, man.
I want to ask you about their schedule for a second. Now, Clemson comes in week three and will be heavily favored. They are maybe the most talent-laden team in college football. They certainly have more NFL prospects than anybody else.
I got a bunch.
You open at Colorado. You have to win that football game on
in
the
Boulder,
road.
In Boulder.
You got to win that game. You're going to beat Gardner-Webb week two.
Yep.
You got Temple week four. Temple is not a good football team.
Got to win it.
You got Wake Forest in week five, right?
That's a game that sometimes you're like, how the hell did they lose that game? But they got to win that.
Right. You got Virginia Tech coming to Georgia Tech in week six.
Have to protect home.
Then you got Duke and you got Syracuse. Their first eight games, and I don't like to play that's a win, that's a – but those first eight games, you have a real shot to be 7-1 or 6-2.
Yep.
That is not a nasty schedule. You have got, and here's the beauty of it. You can't count on a college quarterback that runs the ball to be healthy the entire time.
Yep.
And look who you have behind
him. Behind you. I'm telling you.
Right?
I'm telling you.
Aaron so you Pollock, lose Eric Singleton was the big loss in the offseason.
That
right?
was a big one. And obviously, you know, Georgia has to make decisions too. And I'm sure Brent Key had to make a decision. But you start looking at a guy that's going to command a lot of money. Where do you take that money? You probably go back and spend it on your O-line, D-line.
Jamal Haynes, though, obviously.
Running back from Grayson.
We'll have a lot of hype around him. And then down the road, we'll talk about Georgia State, try to show some love. What happened to them in the portal, though, in the spring, I guess it was, right?
They took a beating on defense, especially on defense.
And guys ended up at Baylor. They ended up all over the place, man.
They lost to Power Four conferences. Now, I will say this about Dale McGee. They've done a good job evaluating early on. Portal's a big deal for them. They had to go back and replace those guys. So we'll see. I think that the key for Dale McGee is stay healthy because you can't build the Georgia-type depth. I think they got a great coaching staff. I think they're doing a great job. A spring portal window kills a team like Georgia State, man, and they got to survive. So they don't have that next year, but it helped Georgia State too.
Branson Robinson, though.
That's a big one.
Dale coming McGee from Georgia.
Him. Yep. Dale McGee recruited him. Yep. Relationships.
And he's healthy, ready to rock and roll.
Looks to be healthy.
All right, that's the tailgate getting you ready. We're live in Athens on Friday. We'll be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers upstairs there. It's not open to the public, so don't really matter, but we have the whole crew there. We're going to be shuffling in a lot of Georgia conversation. Can't tell you everybody yet, but going to be a great morning in Athens. Any morning in Athens is a great one. The baby Sophie said,
She's coming.
I'm getting up early
awesome.
With you.
Awesome.
I mean, God bless.
Is she back from European vacation?
She's back. We've had to have some conversations.
Let me tell you something. I lived through Sophie for about 8 weeks. Uncle Rusty was proud of her.
We should all come back to life as an exchange student from Georgia in Europe with that program, let me just say.
Yes.
Like, we should all – is there an adult
– What's the curriculum on that?
They do make you have to go to class in Barcelona for a few days. Let me just tell you, those kids were living. when I say living their best life, I want to be an exchange student.
Oh, that's what I want to be.
Right? And I just, like, could you take a train every so often? Like, how many Lyft bills? That was a conversation. That was a come-to-Jesus comment. And when a Jewish guy's having a come-to-Jesus, you know what I mean? You know things are serious. Like, hold on, we're having a what, Daddy?
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jewish guy's having a come-to-Jesus. Things are serious. Hey, when we come back, you need to hear the cuts from the locker room and Ronald Acuna. Obviously, for the Braves, there's never been anything quite like this season. Just even today, what do they got? Joey Wentz starting tonight, today, this afternoon, right?
Yeah, I was unavailable, so they went with Joey Wentz.
I was going to say, like, listen, have arm, will travel. If you're pitching in a senior league and you throw over 70 miles an hour,
with a great breaking ball?
Yeah, you may want to find your way to Truist. We're going to hear the locker room from Ronald Acuna. I want to hear your reaction from the listeners.
This hurt me.
It's what I said about sports, Rusty. Like, you could have a million scenarios about this year's Braves team. Never could you imagine you'd be 16 games under 500, no starting pitchers left from your start of the season, the five rotation, right? Mm-hmm. And another possible season-ending injury to the best player, maybe most talented player in franchise history. You can't make this up. Just can't. Steak and Rusty, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10 o'clock on the number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Obviously, the home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United, home of the Falcons, home of our special steakhouse broadcast, which is coming up on Friday in Athens with the whole crew connected on that as well, and all kinds of great stuff that that we're excited about. So real quick, and then I got a special guest one to tell you about a big event coming up, a food event, but also a great lady and a great cause. When you look over the spectrum of the SEC, and we'll talk more about it, also Ronald Acuna stuff, is there one or two stories in looking at who may be emerging?
It's quarterback play. Georgia's new quarterback, Alabama new quarterback, Tennessee new quarterback. Can DJ Lagway stay healthy at Florida? What's Arch Manning going to do? I mean, there's a lot of quarterback questions. And is Lenore Sellers going to wind up being an NFL first-round draft pick out of South Carolina? But there's a lot of questions, a lot of I think Lenore Sellers is extremely talented at South Carolina. Will he have the pieces around him? They're replacing 17 starters, so I'm ready. I know it's going to start target season with camp, but I'm excited about new quarterbacks. Ohio State, new quarterback. Michigan, a new quarterback. A lot of stuff going on.
All right. Joining us now, I want to let you know about a fabulous event. It's happening on Sunday, September 28th, so you got plenty of time to get focused, get real. It's my friend Jen Heidinger, who runs the Giving Kitchen, one of the great causes in our city, also a longtime buddy. Jen, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you today, Cassandra?
Awesome. We got Rusty here, though. He's not.
Oh,
quite
hey,
as
Rusty.
Good.
I'm not quite. I'm not quite as soft and pretty as Sandra. But
hey,
thank you.
Explain the Giving Kitchen. We got tons of listeners here that don't know about it. I've known about it for years. Of course, your late husband, I was super familiar with, and how this came about. So, explain to folks the cause, and then we'll talk about the fun stuff, which is the night coming up.
Would absolutely love it. You know, Giving Kitchen is a nonprofit that helps food service workers in crisis, very simply. And we do that in two really significant ways, through financial support, so to cover the rent and utility payments for food service workers when they miss work due to an unexpected crisis, like an illness or injury or death of a family member or a housing disaster like a flood or a fire. And we also help support food service workers across the country, mind you, to stability network resources. So think of local community resources, access to mental health counseling, suicide prevention, substance misuse, housing and utility security, anything that you can think of to help support and uplift the dignity of food service workers across the country. That is what Giving Kitchen does to support.
Yeah, and here's what I would say. Think about folks that complain about, I need better service, or these folks aren't fired up about, you know, working in restaurants, or all the whining you hear sometimes. The reality is, this is a profession that for a long time were just not treated the right way. And it wasn't just the hours and everything else. It was, if you get sick, again, you don't have that every 2 week paycheck that was regular, that you take vacations and everything else. And what happened to your late husband? Explain how the story came about. I was with him on one of his final trips, which was a great trip to Louisville and the Bourbon Trail and all that, and everybody celebrated him. But explain how that came about, because that was the impetus for building this organization.
It really was, and I appreciate you saying that. That's a very fond memory I have as well. So you and I have known each other for many, many years. My late chef husband, Ryan Heidinger, is the reason Giving Kitchen exists today. A beloved, well-respected, and admired chef here in Atlanta for many years. We moved here in 2004. But he was working at Muss and Turner's, a restaurant up in Smyrna, Georgia, when he unexpectedly got sick. An MRI led us to understanding that he had stage 4 gallbladder cancer in December of 2012, and that stage 4 cancer had metastasized to his liver and his lungs, and he was given a 6-month diagnosis at Living. And for us, as you can imagine, that was kind of the end of everything we knew at that time. But what happened in Atlanta, and especially around the culinary community, was a rallying effort and a cry that turned into a fundraising benefit called Team Heidi that we still host today as one of our largest signature tasting events and fundraisers of the year. And it ended up gathering in nearly 1,000 people and the most beloved restaurants and bartenders around Atlanta who came to support. And what ended up raising, we ended up raising around $300,000 for he and I to be able to help pay our mortgage and living expenses for Ryan's final year. And we took that and turned it into the inspiration for Giving Kitchen, which now helps food service workers, anyone working in commercial food service, so think catering and concessionaires and food trucks and bar and tap rooms and anyone in a full service restaurant or fast food, we're there to help them for any food service worker in the United States today.
Yeah, because again, health benefits for the guy that's, you know, waiting on you at Brooklyn Cafe doesn't necessarily exist, and that's why that is out there. And what I like is the event coming up. You know, I like to be around chefs. They make me feel good, and they make my night better. And we got a big night coming up at State Farm Arena, correct?
Absolutely. It is at State Farm Arena, home of the Atlanta Hawks. It is an event called Fork Side Seats. It is fueled by Georgia natural gas, and it is all benefiting food service workers in crisis for Giving Kitchen.
All right, so what do we have? Like a bunch of cool restaurants, and we go around and we get a little taste of everything. You do it right on the floor at State Farm Arena, correct?
I think you've got it right. That's exactly what we're doing. I think what makes this really special is that we have invited Atlanta's newest restaurants. So think about those restaurants that you have not gotten to yet, that is really hard to get a reservation. Or imagine just trying to fill your year with going to all of these amazing restaurants. We've got each of them coming to Forkside Seats, serving up a bite pre-dinner. There's going to be a really special, amazing, unique seated dinner right on the floor of the arena after the opening kind of ceremonies, if you will, with the bites from the restaurants. Some really amazing food and beverage. Our seated dinner is being curated by Chef G. Garvin, the chef of the arena. And we're just super excited about what's to come.
All right. GivingKitchen.org/ForksideSeats to learn more. It's a great event. We'll talk more about it in a couple of months or in the next month or so as well. Learn more about Giving Kitchen because it's an amazing cause and you're an impressive lady. Always good to see you and talk to you. And look forward to 2 months from now as spending some time together.
I cannot wait to see you guys there.
All right. Thank you. Jen Heidinger there from the Giving Kitchen. All right. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So, you know, great food event, a great cause. And her late husband was a great dude. That, you know what? You get that news, you just can't even believe it. And that's what it was for them. So they take care of a lot of folks in the business. And just in general, with restaurants not staying open as late, a lot of places aren't open for lunch anymore. A lot of those shifts, when if you're dying, your kids worked in the business, right?
Yep.
Now, John, can we mention they're not there anymore, right?
Yeah, but
yeah. So they worked at a place that was open super late, super 4 or 5 late in the morning. Yep. There aren't many places like that anymore.
No.
Nowadays, it's like dinner stops at 9. Yep. You get
a
normal.
I'm surprised at how many places stop that you can't get you can't get dinner at 10.
No.
If you're out doing, if you go to movies or something, you want to swing by.
No,
like
you cannot.
It's Waffle House.
I know. But point is, it's a way better career than it's ever been. And I think that's part of what you have to understand. Now, let's turn our attention to what happened last night at Kansas City.
Got some news from the Braves. The Braves have recalled Jared Kelenic to the roster, and they have placed Ronald Acuña Jr. on the 10-day injured list with right Achilles tendon inflammation. Now, they're bringing him back to Atlanta for MRI, but that's the minimum what they're doing. But that's right now. Jared Kelenic has recalled him. And so far, Acuña is on the 10-day injured list.
All right, well, we'll find out more. Here's what we're concerned about. Ronald Acuña, through his interpreter last night after the game, let's just hear what all the conversation is and why he is trending all over the nation.
Yeah, I think it definitely got worse today. I told him yesterday, and you know, everyone said, hey, you know, take the day if you want it. You can have the day off. But I've just missed so much time already through injuries. I don't want to miss any more time.
So he didn't want to sit. And there's no question that it was not a torn Achilles yesterday prior to the game. Think of, a number of athletes that try to play through something and then it gets worse or it becomes a more serious injury. You think about Tyrese Halliburton or Kevin Durant or guys that, may not have been their Achilles, but that's what they end up tearing. In this case, it was sore. I don't think it's the Braves' job to try to figure out what does sore mean. Maybe I know that Snit's taking a lot of heat on social media. Do you say you have to sit? I mean, you play.
What was one day going to do with something like that? If it got – obviously when he warmed up yesterday, they had to see him, and he had to say, I'm good to go. Yeah. Somebody had to ask him, you feel okay? They had to watch him.
Well,
warm up.
They said you can take the day, and he said, no, I'm not taking.
Every day somebody's probably got a shoulder.
Right.
You know, you don't get to that. Like a shoulder. We're late in the season in baseball. Everybody's got something.
Right. So here he is talking about why he is worried.
Sí, sí, claro. Es una lesión. Estoy preocupado, claro.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's an injury. I'm worried.
They asked him.
Then he starts crying.
And then he starts crying. That's
what got me worried.
All right. Yeah, he's also asked a really important question. Did you hear a pop?
Yeah, it's more pain, but you know, I think it feels kind of I feel it a lot when I try to put pressure on it.
Oof.
did not say he heard a pop, but he did say it's getting worse and worse, and to the point where obviously he had to be removed from the game. It's the old adage of, you know, if you're in any sport, like if I'm a cornerback, don't throw it my way. I'm hurt right now. Mm-hmm. If I'm an outfielder, don't hit it over here. And, of course, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was hurting even more. And, yeah, I mean, I was kind of out there, and I was just, like, hoping they wouldn't hit it my way. And, of course, anytime you do that, they always hit it your way.
That's exactly what happened. That's what you
back-to-back
saw, right?
Back-to-back balls. One down the gap, and then he had to go across to chase a ground rule double. So he had to literally full speed, top speed, track a ball in the air.
The reason that you and I are around these coaches and athletes, high school, college, pro, and, you know, the ones that are most successful are the ones that understand as good as it's going, it's not going to last. And as bad as it is, there's going to be another, there'll be some light at some point, as bleak as it looks. You have to have an even keel. Now, Alex Anthopoulos was the rainmaker. He's the guy that went out 4 years ago and made a bunch of midseason moves that every single one that you touched.
Hit on it, hit grand slams on every deal.
Yeah. They won you every series you had, was one of the guys that you picked up. And it just looked like brilliance was shining through. It looked like the farm system had brought up guys like Austin Riley and Acuna and Albies and one after another. It looked like you lost Freddie Freeman, but you got Matt Olson, who's hitting 50 bombs. Like, you could not go wrong. Now, the thing Alex understands is everything, because he's been in it long enough, Dodgers, Jays, here, you know, there's something coming. Now, nobody would imagine it could come like this, right? But I said the same thing we talked about Arthur Blank. When he came in here and everything was bleak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sells those tickets for $10 at the top of the dome. Yep. And everybody's like, wow, our owner cares to get the building filled, because Warwick Dunn said we got to fill the building. Then you get Michael Vick, and you're the hottest ticket in all of sports. And then you have Matt Ryan. And in between that, you've had some of the worst moments. Like, you have to understand, that's the world of professional sports. So Alex Anthopoulos, you know, he never strutted of like, wow, look at us. We're on a run right here. No, because he knows the reality.
Lightning in a bottle is what he hit.
And then even the three playoff years after, Rusty. Yes. Remember, you're out of it the year after,
and
you make that phenomenal run and overtake the Mets that were 10.5 up. Now, again, you lose all three playoff series, the Phillies and the Padres, but there was a notion that the Braves are the best run, elite organization,
best value,
top five.
Roster value.
Right. Made great,
long-term deals, young kids.
And then it all went up in smoke.
Ooh.
It all went up in smoke to a point now where you're trying to get – you're literally – I don't know what the term Bo used. You're trying to survive this season.
We're trying to get to the used tire store.
They're at the used tire store.
We got 80 bucks, and we're trying to get a set of four. Yeah. Those three will work. What about that one with a little knot in it?
I've never seen
any – give me a few miles.
I've never seen anything like this. We've covered a lot of seasons.
Yep.
You don't have a starter left from opening day.
Unbelievable.
You don't have
a
starter.
They're all on the 60 at the same time. Now, a couple of them will probably come off and pitch, towards the end of the season.
They're all on the 60.
All on the 60-day IL at the same time.
So they play in Bristol on Saturday night, correct?
Yep.
Bo, the state question always for $500, is Ozuna on the team Saturday night or not?
Is it Marcelo?
Oh, well, today's the 30th. I don't think so. I think something happens tomorrow. Tomorrow's trade deadline day.
I think he gets
moved.
He'll
run a special and everything.
Now, he can turn down any trade.
I think that's probably what's taken so long. But it's good that he hit a home run last night.
Yeah, yeah.
He did a couple this week, right? So, yeah, I think he's gone. And we'll talk more about the trade deadline coming up as well. When we come back, we will belly up. Not surprisingly, Adam Sandler is king of the world. Also, NFL football is here. And the movie celebrating an anniversary that anybody my age group will tell you is it. As my son would say, he's him.
We need the dues.
He's him. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:25, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. The 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure washing. Don't mess around with a couple of, lowlifes. You go right to these guys, right? So Wise Guys Pro Wash, check him out. You hear Sandy talking about him a bunch. Rusty Mantell is here. He'll be with us on Friday. We'll be in Athens. Taking the ride downtown, or what part of town is that considered over there at the
on campus,
Ryan House?
Basically.
Yeah, right around the corner from the football facilities. Kirby Smart with a team meeting tonight, I guess it'll be. And Georgia will get going in what is one of the more fascinating seasons, but you can say that every year. Year number 10, the best way to describe it is, Georgia fans, you have been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You have been blessed for a decade of Kirby Smart football. Memories and moments, from Rose Bowls to national titles to playoff wins to SEC titles to road wins at places like Notre Dame and
last
Tennessee.
Last home loss was in October of 2019, South Carolina.
That's just wild.
Think about that.
That's just wild. That's 7 years almost. You haven't gone to
It's
going to
be really tough this year to go undefeated at home. It is. They got Alabama at home. They got Ole Miss at home. They got Texas at home. Kentucky. I mean, they've got – it just is what it is. Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
I mean –
if he goes through this
– Listen. Haynes King and Tech came about as close as you could ever
one damn
be.
Foot. One foot, basically. Yeah.
Holding on to the football.
Yep. Dan Jackson delivers a pop, and about 2 hours later, the game was over.
You know – we've seen a lot of bad losses, and Georgia had their share. We talked about the Tennessee loss in the final seconds, the Hail Mary and all that. But I think Georgia Tech fans have to be traumatized to even watch that game to realize.
You don't watch that.
That was in the middle of the Kirby Smart era, Georgia, the heyday.
Georgia fans are not watching the Alabama 22nd-26. You don't watch.
No. You have to.
Georgia Tech's definitely not.
Yeah, everything that happened before that in that game, it may have been a classic, but Georgia fans are like, why would I watch that game?
Correct.
I'm never going to watch that game, right? So, but Georgia Tech was as close as you could ever be to ending that win streak in Athens for Georgia, knocking them out of
the
postseason.
You see the reaction of Kirby and Brent Key after the game? Because I can tell you this. I know both of them. Spent some time with both of them. Brent Key is not fooling. That dude could care less about Georgia in any sport, period. He hates Georgia.
Yeah,
and that's the way it should be.
He detests them. But he also talked about, it's one of the best interviews we've ever had.
But
Brent
you saw
Key,
the respect of those two after that game.
He says, he describes it as the only two people in the world that understand what that felt like in a rivalry game with a team at the end of a year that is trying to survive and hang on. Going through overtime and emotional.
On a Friday night.
An absolute emotional roller coaster.
Wild.
And he's just like, we were so exhausted, and that embrace at midfield was almost.
They worked together at Alabama. So, I mean, they've been through the gauntlet, played against each other, worked together.
Kirby respects him, but he doesn't like to hear somebody sniping the way Brent Key talks about Georgia.
I can assure you Kirby doesn't go root for anything Georgia Tech, period.
Ever.
He understands the state rivalry. He's been on the losing side as a player.
And if there is a text chain going on with ex-Alabama coaches, I don't think Brent Key would be a part of one with Kirby Smart. Like, that's not happening.
No.
So there's zero love loss. That embrace was about respect, and I know Kirby has huge respect, obviously, as Mike Bobo and others, for Haynes King and that entire team, who took it to Georgia. They took it to him. And then Carson Beck, I mean, say what you want about him. And I thought it was interesting to hear him at ACC Media Days finally address the Georgia fans.
Yeah.
But Carson Beck found a way to pull that game out by making plays.
Made some plays.
And he did that over the two-year run.
Yep.
Carson Beck found a way, including the Alabama comeback, which was spectacular, that didn't end up the way they wanted. But, I mean, just remember when Carson Beck probably played his best football is when they were in their most vulnerable.
I think when Carson Beck is comfortable, I think when he has his feet set and I think he is upright, Carson Beck, he can deliver it, and he is unique NFL player.
You know, it's back to the whole thing about you can't predict anything, the beauty of what we do for a living, is that if you'd said a year ago that Carson Beck not only will not go to the National Football League where he was a Heisman favorite and a first rounder, he won't even be at Georgia and he'll be eligible to play. He'll be at Miami. You'd say, how the hell could that happen?
One of the wildest about 10 days ever, he basically says, look, I'm leaving to go to the draft. He declares so Kirby can start recruiting other people. And don't forget now, Kirby entertained a couple of transfer quarterbacks.
had him on visits. And, you know, all of a sudden I get a text message one morning say from a Miami guy. And he goes, hey, we're hearing some noise about Carson Beck's coming to Miami. And literally about an hour and a half later, Pete Nakos of On3, I think, broke that, that he was going to Miami. And I think that Carson Beck's people got around him and go, they're not going to draft you with this injury.
Where yeah, your value and also isn't actually an all-time low, your value. You didn't have a great season like you did the year before. It wasn't as good a year. You're coming off the injury. If you're thinking about the National Football League, just understand your value is not there. Yeah. And he's already severed ties with Georgia. And I think Georgia, in their mind, said, we're ready to move on to Gunnar Stockton and company.
And it's been reported it's anywhere between $4 and $6 million a year at Miami.
So their $20 million payroll for all of athletics, Carson Beck's getting $4 million. I don't believe the numbers. That would leave you $15 million for every other.
No. I don't think that's what they're working under, that cap. Because okay, that deal was done before.
Okay, so the grandfathered in.
Yes.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why all that money got in.
On the 30th of June.
Did you hear the story I told you about?
So I saw the report. It was $90 million wire transfer that day.
A young lady who was a waitress, who I know very well. I'm not going to mention the restaurant.
Yep.
She goes out with a ACC football player, and she was in Miami partying with him and his buddies, and said, you have never seen, they all got in before they got their final payments.
They all front-loaded, so all the players got basically a year's salary on the 30th.
She said, you've never seen a group of 20-year-olds with so much cash in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Like spending it, like the Russians were in the next room.
Making it rain.
Yeah, and that's where they were going. They were Miami, and they were out at 4 a.m. And they were out at 4 a.m., and they had a wad of cash. It wasn't just singles.
Yes.
She's like, she didn't say it was disgusting. She said it just was unbelievable to watch 20-year-olds have that kind of money.
So basically, they got a year's salary on the 30th, and then on the 1st, they transferred over to the university's payroll. And, oh, by the way, started another year of contract.
All right, let's do the belly up. We got a baseball game going to be played. I don't know who's going to be starting, but they're setting new records when you talk about the Braves.
So in the 100-plus years of Major League Baseball, Bo, this is going to be the most attended game ever, 85,000-plus. It's the first Major League Baseball game ever played in the state of Tennessee, which I thought was crazy.
That is kind of crazy. That's,
American
that's
and
a
National.
Very weird stat.
Bristol Motor Speedway, considered basically the holy grail kind of the short tracks. It was opened in 1961. They go roughly about 120,000 fans, I think, when it's all set in that bowl. They obviously had to make it a little different for this. But you think about this. This group of players is going to make history on Saturday night, and that probably sucks as well for Acuna. Probably missed that part of history. But you sit there and think, 85,000-plus fans, nobody has ever played in front of a crowd like that in a game of baseball. There are going to be some nerves Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night at Bristol.
I can't wait to see it. It'll be cool. I loved the Field of Dreams game a couple years ago. That was unbelievable. So I want to see what this game turns out Saturday night.
Especially in a season that has very few moments left to be excited about. Happy Gilmore, no surprise. Adam Sandler made the media, visits and on every podcast and talk show, and he drove Happy Gilmore with 46.7 million views
streaming
on Netflix.
I don't understand why people, the social media reaction to that almost caused me not to watch it, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to watch this. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I didn't tune into that.
Yeah, they're not trying to be
I didn't think I was about to watch Officer and Gentleman.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was Happy Gilmore. It was great. It had all these cameos.
They're not trying to win.
John Daly was great in there. Scotty Scheffler was great.
They're not trying to win the Cannes Film Festival.
It is what it is. Am I going to watch it twice? Probably not. But I got what I wanted, my value, watching it once.
Yeah, the people I respect in this room all said it was worth the watch, which is Bo, which was Caleb, and now Rusty. And me and Bobby are going to go down in the basement and get on that 100-inch screen and have a laugh.
How about they close down the Hooters in Augusta?
I know. We talked about that.
We need a moment of silence for that.
We do. Can we turn that music down for a second? The Hooters in Augusta. Okay. Rest in peace. R.I.P. John Daly's
peace,
John, and finally,
John Daly's checkbook.
47 years ago.
Hooters! It feels so good to be back here at the Destillate Club. We like to do for you now a tune entitled Shabba-lama ding dong.
So hit it. First of all,
you mind if we dance with your dates?
More great lines.
Oh my God! What a
one
movie.
Of the greatest soundtracks in film history. One of the most iconic moments. They filmed it at the University of Oregon. Where John Belushi would fly.
I read the story. John Belushi would film Saturday Night Live. They would get him on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And when I tell you he had some extracurricular
ways to stay awake,
they would fly him back after Saturday Night Live back to Oregon. He would film Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They literally said this dude didn't sleep for a couple of weeks almost filming this thing.
He was the only known commodity in the film. He was a 27-year-old John Belushi, made the movie for $3 million. Harold Ramis helped write it. The Faber College, implied to be in Tennessee, based on the fraternity shenanigans of a Dartmouth fraternity, but filmed in Oregon, like you said.
Flounder, Otter. I mean, it's still a great one.
Yeah, it was filmed in the nearby town of Cottage Grove, Oregon, at the University of Oregon in Eugene, right next door, in exchange for a $20,000 fee and no mention regarding University of Oregon. They didn't want to be attached to the movie.
When they're doing the horse and they're doing the golf, you see them hitting the golf balls. You see the Oregon Stadium in behind it. It's only half. It's only two sides. It's not even a bowl yet. Looks like Buford's new stadium.
We'll talk about growing up. That movie, for me and my buddies,
I loved it, man.
There was nothing better. Anyway, 47 years Animal House. We'll come back, play some Three Strike Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, you put the shamalama, baby, in my ramalama, ding dong. Hey, you put the ooh, mama, back into my smile job. .1042 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel. We're back with you Friday in Athens. Tomorrow we are at Falcons. We'll hear from Michael Penix coming up in just a little bit.
You want some good news?
Yeah, I mean,
you want some Rusty Manziel breaking really good.
I hope it's about Ronald Acuna being fine.
I didn't say great. This is like really good news. That tomorrow night we have an NFL game, and I don't think we have a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday again until February the 16th without a game. So there's a preseason game Friday night. The Jags play next week. There's a game Thursday. There's 36 high school games Friday night in the state of Georgia, scrimmage games.
Wow.
So until I believe it's February the 16th, 2026, we have football every weekend, some shape, fashion, or form. You can tell I'm excited.
Well, I mean, I want to know what kind of hours you're going to put into that NFL preseason with literally not a guy on the field that
I swear to God, me and the third string center's mom will watch every snap. Why would I not? What am I going to watch?
The Better Sister. Have you heard about that on Netflix?
Did she play DB at Cleveland?
No. That's a good show, Better Sister. You heard about that show, Animal Kingdom, on Netflix?
So everybody's talking about is the Hunter's Wife.
Oh, yeah, that's out too, right.
I've heard that's a lot of.
Does your wife watch streaming shows? Is she?
Downstairs.
So what's the rule? You're up in the office up there? I mean, what's the setup?
I got a 75-inch upstairs.
So does she ever say, come down here and watch something with me, Rusty?
Every once in a while, but like she, when I'm locked in with sports, it's like nobody's going upstairs. Now, if Kaylee's home, she goes upstairs and watches sports with me.
God, she gets so favored in that family.
She
I know it's her job. She's very talented.
She's got a new podcast out. She ratted me out for not cutting my grass.
She has her own podcast.
She was on the SEC podcast.
Oh, that's right. Is that the shout out that she got on the Paul Feinbaum show?
That's the guys that gave her the shout out. And I'll tell you what, those two guys that got me originally on Paul Feinbaum the first time I was on.
Explain that for a second.
So they were on the show, and Paul Feinbaum's like, hey, who should we get in the Georgia market? And an SEC Mike Branton out of Nashville, who does a huge podcast, he goes, I don't know why you haven't had Rusty Manziel on. Literally next week, I'm on. And then again, I'm on. So
how long ago was that?
A year ago.
So you've been on Feinbaum how many times?
Two or three.
Okay.
So then Feinbaum, they have an hour. They had an unscripted hour, and all of a sudden they're supposed to do one segment. Something canceled. And they're like, "Y'all want to stay on during the commercials?" Like, yeah. So Paul Feinbaum goes, "Who's your favorite guy to talk to here the whole week?" And he goes, "We love Rusty," which I'm thankful for those guys. Great guys. Then they start talking. They go, "You know Rusty's daughter? That's who you need to get on." He goes, "Who?" And he goes, "Rusty's daughter, Kaylee." So wow. My phone starts blowing up. So they have her on the podcast, and they're talking about, "Can Rusty cook a steak?" And she's like, "Yeah, you know, I promise you he can cook and all this." And they're like, she's like, "I will tell you this. He doesn't cut his grass.
Oh.
He's not a survivor like that." And they're like, "He doesn't what?" What she didn't say was, "I was cutting grass from the time I was 11 years old. I'm done with that. I've done the
You've
grass.
You've worked in a steel mill. You don't need to get called out. Does she understand that you worked in a steel mill?
You know what? She asked
for
me
to, 4 years.
She asked me to drive her by there recently, and I did. I said, "You see that building right there?"
I'm not just saying this because she's your daughter and I love her, but she is as poised a person for her age on air that I've ever seen. I mean, she is a natural.
The night they put her on, I was a little bit nervous. I said, "Guys, I don't know. Like, y'all gonna put her on?"
You were nervous, huh?
I was nervous. And IJ Rosenberg goes, "Rusty, I'm putting her on. She's 21 years old. Never been on live TV."
Oh, that's when she was doing the high school games.
Dropped her in.
First time. How long ago was that?
It was 2020, COVID year.
Okay.
So she's fixing to turn 25 next week.
Dude, she why isn't she? What? So she's working.
I'll say, I'm not getting her business, but there's people reaching out now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people reaching out. Okay. She loves her job now. She loves her job.
Listen.
Loves her job.
She needs to be across from us one of these mornings, though, right?
She works down the street.
That was a big shout out.
She works down the street now.
She's right upstairs, isn't she? Right around.
Down, I think the next block over, yeah.
Here's our three strikes question. Give me the iconic movie when you're in high school. Picture yourself 15 years old. What's the movie that was iconic for you and your buddies? We just talked about Animal House. I also just saw a bunch of photos from Rusty's 35th high school championship reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say, if you thought, and I asked him, how is the team doing in terms of physical, you know, how do they look, physical fitness? You said they're about a B+?
Yeah.
Well, the cheerleaders are not a B+. He just showed me. I don't know what's in the water in Rome, Georgia. Hot damn. Who are those three? Oh, my God. They're all in their 50s?
Yeah.
Damn. So who is the
good girls, man. Who had a good time.
Who is the best-looking girl from your high school? You can give her a shout-out. Who's the best-looking girl from your high school?
Some fun calls.
And the last time you saw her. And then finally, the rival high school you still or you hated. Who was the rival high school you hated? And we'll find out a little bit more about why. What was the iconic movie from high school? The comedy when you were 15 or 16 with your buddies, who was the best-looking girl from high school, and the rival high school that you hated and probably still hate to this day. 404-726-0929. I love Tinker, the pig man. I love Marine Tim. I love Mike Bell's neighbor. But
Breakfast Barry.
Barry, I love him too. But listen, let's get some new
blood. We're going to get some calls. Get some calls on this one.
404-726.
We'll get some calls on this one.
0929.
There's some girl sitting in a cubicle in like Augusta that's about to get called out on the biggest radio station in Atlantic. Some dude's going to call in and go, "Hey, you remember Mary Sue?
I'm trying to think about, there were a couple of, I mean, listen, Boston's known for a lot of things, but nobody ever said, "I just came from Boston. Man, they got a bunch of hot women up there." No,
We had some really good looking girls.
Of course, dude.
I know, but I'm saying the girls, the grade in front of me was good looking.
Did you go to high school? Did you go to, did your wife go to your high school?
No, she went to McEachern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the best looking girl from your high school?
There was a bunch.
You can't name one of them? Because there's a chance.
5 or 6 of them.
Oh, God. You are such, you are.
I dated a girl that won Miss Pepperell.
What was her name? Who was Miss Pepper?
Pass on that.
Why can't? Isn't that someone she'd be proud of?
She should be proud. It's her. That's her business.
I think we had a girl. I don't know. Debbie Brass was her name. I've looked her up on Facebook a million times just to see how she's doing, and she's not even out there. You know how badly you want to see how that girl, you know, how the years treated her, right?
Listen,
I would say, is there a more fun use of Facebook than thinking about the little honeys that, you know, and seeing how they're doing?
And they're doing the same thing with you. Like, that guy's on radio still? What's he look like?
You want to see what I look like? Take that escalator up the Atlanta airport. You see me right there.
How about those apples?
Yeah. You remember how you blew me off on prom night?
I remember you didn't eat for 4 days, but you looked damn good in that video. You had air and molecules for
dinner.
They
said, we're going to film you for the Atlanta escalator, coming up the escalator.
That was awesome.
And I said, when are you filming? They said, next Thursday. And I stopped eating because I was in my feelings those days. And I lost 9 pounds in 3 days. Right? 9 pounds. I felt like I was wrestling at like 155, right? Yep. I had a plastic bag. I was running.
I wanted to bring a cheeseburger in here so bad. I got a tweet from one of our listeners. Animal House was Kevin Bacon's first ever acting job.
Yep.
How about that?
He looked like he's 14 in that movie.
It's crazy.
404-726-0929. Fill up the phone line real quick. Do we have to hear from Michael Penix? I don't know.
I think let's take some calls. Right, this is going to be good.
You're right.
This is going to be good.
Michael Penix said the same thing that every quarterback at every training camp is saying. We're excited for the season.
I like my guys. Worried about the locker room.
Yeah. And he also said what every quarterback has said. I'm excited about Kyle Pitts. So now you know what he said.
Yeah.
I can't believe you won't even tell us who Miss Pepperell. What year was it? I'll look it up. Miss Pepperell 2000. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 2000. Yeah, 2000. Yeah. 1999. Look at 1999. Yeah.
Miss Pepperell. How long you date her for?
Not long. A year or so.
Do you remember how it ended?
Yeah, went to two different colleges. Well, nothing bad.
Oh, so what? Nobody cheated on nobody?
I mean, I don't think, but no.
All right.
Well, nothing like that.
I
didn't give her like a promise ring, like pink ice or anything.
Have you seen her since? Like, she live in the area?
She lives in Marietta somewhere. Teacher. She's doing well in life.
She still looks good?
Oh, yeah. Family.
As if you'd say something otherwise.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jeff in Marietta. Hey, Jeff, what was the high school movie for you and your buddies? Iconic.
Purple Rain.
Best looking girl from your high school.
Shout out to Bridget Worthy.
And the rival high school you hated and still made hate.
I went to Lakewood High School in New Jersey. Our rival was Toms River South.
Luke in Covington. Give me the movie. You're in high school. You and your buddies. Iconic.
Pulp Fiction?
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Great one. I've seen it. If I haven't seen it 30 times.
What was that, 95 around there?
What year was that?
94.
Yep.
Best looking girl from your high school. What high school?
Lisa Salem.
Lisa Traylor.
What was the high school?
I went to Salem High School and Heritage High School in Conyers.
Conyers.
The high school team you hated?
Rockdale County,
Grady Jarrett. Right.
Ham in Hampton. Hey, Ham, what's the iconic movie when you and your buddies are in high school?
Crush Groove, man. Run DMC, Crush Groove.
Yeah.
Best looking girl from your high school, and what high school was it?
North Central High School in Kershaw, South Carolina. Best looking girl was Gloria Drayford, and she still looks good to this day. She's married, but she's still a beautiful woman.
All right. I just want one of these girls to say they got a shout out and feel good.
I will get tweeted at some point on this one.
Real high school. The high school rival that you hated. Is he gone?
Yeah, I lost him.
Hey, Mikey. Mikey, give me the iconic movie from when you were in high school.
Well, I'm 72, but I'm going to say Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid.
Best looking girl from your high school, and what high school was it?
There were a lot. I went to Avondale. There were a lot, but I'll say Marianne Morrow.
And the rival high school that you hated and may still hate to this day?
Well, Columbia High, the playoffs were different, but that was our only loss, and we stayed home. 9-1, stayed home.
Man, we went 8-2 my junior year and stayed home, which is ridiculous.
Think about this guy. That's 56 or so years ago. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, man.
Still thinking about that.
9-1, that sucks. That's BS, man. Yeah. That's not the John Foy big game of the night. The big game of the night is the Atlanta Braves, I guess, today. 210.
Is that what we're calling this?
We're going to call it the
big game.
But you know
what the big game of the night is?
You know what? John Foy's involved. It's a big game.
You know what the big game of the night is? The MRI on Ronald Acuna.
This is happening probably right now.
Yeah, that's the big game of the night. Hey, by the way, the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Best pressure washing in the business. All right, Rusty, we'll see you Friday morning in Athens. Tomorrow, I'm back at Flowery Branch.
Big show Friday. Big show Friday.
Yeah. If you are a college football fan and you don't listen on Friday, Then I don't know what to tell you.
I got a great Rusty Rocks. 90s bars in Athens. I'll go ahead and give it to you. And I'm going to give you a song you would hear in those bars.
Why don't you put it out there so at least let people throw in some suggestions. 90s bars. Put it out there soon.
Yep, I'll do that.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bo. Back tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.